A Denver Broncos road loss, wash, rinse, repeat. The theme of this game once again is the Broncos defense plays well for a majority of the game until the final moments. The offense seemingly can't do anything. What is going on with this team and why are they so exhausting? You get that and much more on today's brand new episode, Locked On Broncos.
You are Locked On Broncos, your daily Denver Broncos podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
What's up, Broncos country? Welcome into a brand new episode, Locked On Broncos post-game report here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day. The Broncos lose in exhausting fashion. Once again, the same story that we've been talking about pretty much every single week this season. Thank you so much, Broncos country, for bearing with us, making Locked On Broncos your first listen of the day, every single day, free and available everywhere you get your podcasts in audio format or whether you watch on YouTube. Thank you so much. From the South Stands to the End Zone, I'm your host, as always, Cody Rourke, joined alongside by my co-host, Sarah Bettinger, as we break down yet another Denver Broncos loss. Sarah, my friend, I mean, really, a late collapse by this team in this game, and in a game where they led the entirety of it until the final 28 seconds. Just yet another disappointing loss by the Broncos, and there's so many things to talk about here once again. While we're talking about yet another loss here, the offense couldn't do anything as per usual. The defense finds ways to get takeaways and finds a way like to sustain a lead a little bit without Lamar Jackson in this game. But unfortunately, in the final minute, they break. There's so much. I think it's just exhausting at this point. Like everybody in Broncos country, I mean, fans are exhausted. You're exhausted. I'm exhausted. This is just another day in Broncos country.
It is, Cody. I mean, my goodness. In the spirit of the hat I'm wearing, for anybody who understands what movie this hat is from, I mean, the Broncos, I just want to say, as the great Hambino once prophesied, you're killing me, Smalls. I mean, you go to third base. Like, what? This is what you're supposed to do when you're playing football. You score the points, and then by the end of the game, you're supposed to have more points than the other team. You know, I don't know if the Broncos understand that they're supposed to have more points than the other team, because they don't get it out there. I mean, they're like Scott Smalls, who doesn't know where right field and left field is. I mean, do they even know what their right hand and left hand is at this point, Cody? I'd be surprised if that. I mean, my goodness, it's tough to watch on a weekly basis. And like you said, exhausting is the right word. It's actually the perfect word for kind of how I think everybody in Broncos country is feeling. Look, there's no light at the end of the tunnel like this light behind me right now, Cody. It's dark and gloomy in Broncos country. The only thing that anybody really has going for them right now, as I try to adjust and get that sunlight, there we go. We'll figure that out. But at any rate, this Broncos team is killing me. I mean, they're absolutely killing me. And it doesn't matter really what phase of the game we're talking about. It's every single phase of the game. Of course, the story in this game, once again, a very familiar tale for Denver Broncos fans, right? Ineptitude on offense, the defense carrying the weight for the majority of the game. And then all of a sudden, at the end of the game, after many Broncos fans took to Twitter and prophesied this game's going to end in a 10-9 loss, isn't it? Well, sure enough, Tyler Huntley drives the Ravens down the field, 91 yards on 16 plays. I believe a good chunk of that was from Denver Broncos defensive penalties. Alex Singleton called for unnecessary roughness. Pat Surtain called for pass interference. I mean, my goodness, it's the same story, different week. Look, we're all exhausted. The Broncos are killing us. They are. I mean, they're destroying the morale of the fan base more and more week by week. Four straight losses. This loss in particular, though, guarantees that the Broncos will have a losing season, Cody, for how many years in a row is it? I mean, my goodness.
Six, and not to mention seven consecutive years without making the playoffs. This is a pain point, Sarah. I mean, here's the deal, too. The Broncos lost this game 10-9, and Lamar Jackson left the game and didn't even play in it. So we're talking about Tyler Huntley, who came in. And look, Tyler Huntley did everything that he could to give the Broncos a chance to win this game because, well, he threw one interception to Justin Simmons, and then you had James Prochet, who came in. He threw an interception as well on a trick play that Justin Simmons intercepted a second time. The Broncos generating two takeaways, and yet the offense is unable able to do anything. I mean, realistically, you take away Brandon McManus' field goals, I mean, Denver loses this game 10-0, and it's not the defense's fault. Now, I know we're going to dive into the defense and their breakdown late in this game. There's a lot of frustration. I know there's a lot of anger being pinned a lot of different places right now. I look at this game as, once again, the offense losing Denver the game because they simply can't do anything. They can't run the ball well. They commit to things that don't work, and they do things that just make you scratch your head and say, why did they do that? You know, for me, it's different sitting at home this week and watching it on TV versus like being in the press box. I don't get the hindsight of being able to see instant replay in the press box. I get to see everything as it is, and I have to go back home and watch the game. But I just sat there, and I was irritated. I was peeved all game. I'm irritated and peeved at games, too, because I sit in the press box like this sometimes with my hands on my face, and I'm like, why is, I mean, the offense doing this? Like, the offense simply just can't do anything. And once again, we're going to hear about it. We got to be better on third down. Denver was 2 of 12 in this game on third down. They had zero attempts inside the red zone. Sarah, I mean, this offense and this team right now, I'd say, is really the definition of insanity. And we're coming a little uncorked here on the post game. Like, we've held our composure for majority of the season, but it's like, come on, like, at some point, fight, do something. We referenced that meme of the person holding the stick and hitting something. We are begging at this point for the offense to do something. And look, here's the deal. Okay, I think a lot of pressure, a lot of focus has been on Russell Wilson. I'm not necessarily going to pin this game on Russell Wilson. The offensive flow, I mean, he had a couple of misses, but he also delivered a couple of strikes. Jerry Jeudy, first play of the game for him, come back off the injury, 40-yard pass and catch downfield. Looked like he was on a pitch count. Greg Dulcich came up big once again on offense. But outside of those two guys, Denver has nobody. Russell Wilson has nobody to throw to, and it was evident in this game.
It was. I mean, a lot of the really bad plays for this offense, Cody, came from, you're talking about the third downs, 2 of 12 on third down. There's a few plays that stick out in my mind where the Broncos really tried some quick passing plays on third down that were just very, very poorly designed and poorly executed. I mean, it just, they either never materialized or they weren't able to get the kind of yak that they desired. The problem is that there's no real short game in terms of the passing game to speak of on the early downs. The Broncos really force-fed Latavius Murray in this game. Even though he only had 17 carries, it really felt like they were force-feeding the run, and it just simply wasn't working. Aside from a couple plays early on in the game where it felt like, okay, the Broncos offense kind of has a little bit of a groove here in the running game, in the second half, even without Patrick Queen out there for a lot of it, Kyle Hamilton, the first-round pick, the Ravens were still able to shoot gaps, win at the line of scrimmage. They were loading up the box, daring the Broncos to throw, and the Broncos simply couldn't do it. And that's not to say throughout the game, I mean, like we talked about, you can't really pin this loss on Russell Wilson. He was really the only guy to me out there, Cody, and I know that a lot of people are probably going to be up in arms over this because you expect the $250 million QB to go out there and do more than what we're seeing right now. But man, I mean, Russ made the throw to Greg Dulcich off his back foot when nobody picked up the blitz pressure in his face. He made the really nice throw late in the fourth quarter to Jerry Jeudy. He made some really good plays, kind of getting out of the pocket, getting off platform, stepping up into the pocket. He hit Jerry Jeudy deep downfield. I mean, there were opportunities out there, and the Broncos offense simply wasn't able to cash in. Even after the big plays, though, you have the compounding mistakes, right? You have Russell Wilson with the false start after the big play deep downfield, and then you have another deep play downfield like this, the one I said to Dulcich, followed up by a schemed touch to Montrell Washington. I just don't understand it, Cody. So you're killing me, Smalls, is the vibe from Broncos country. It is exhausting, and it's tough to watch on a weekly basis. You got to think the Broncos are getting one step closer to potentially blowing this thing all up.
Well, Broncos country, we sympathize with all of you here on the Locked On Broncos podcast. And we're going to talk about this too. What is going on with the defense? They play great for majority of the game, and then on the last drive, something goes wrong. The Broncos defense seemingly can't find a way to finish. You'll get that on today's episode, Locked On Broncos. But this episode of the show is brought to you by Total Wine and More, the sponsor of today's Locked On Broncos post-game report. And this holiday, find what you love at Total Wine and More. With so many great bottles to choose from, it's easy to find a new favorite single barrel bourbon or the perfect perfect gifts for everyone on your list with some help from a friendly guide. And all with the confidence of knowing you found something special for the lowest price. You'll love what you find. Only at Total Wine and More. Curbside pickup and delivery available in most areas. Visit TotalWine.com to learn more. Spirits not sold in Virginia and North Carolina. Drink responsibly. Be 21. And our good friends over there at Simply Safe and at Lockdown Broncos, we believe home should be where you and your family feel safest, especially over the holidays. And this season, give yourself and your family the gift of peace and protection with the number one rated home security system, Simply Safe. And right now, Simply Safe is offering Locked On Broncos listeners 40% off a new home security system. But don't put this off. Here's why I love it. In an emergency, 24/7 professional monitoring agents use Fast Protect technology exclusively from Simply Safe to capture critical evidence and verify the threat is real so you can get higher priority police response. Simply Safe is whole home security with advanced sensors for every room, window, and door, HD security cameras for inside and outside, smarter ways to detect motions that alert you when a threat is real, and even hazard sensors that detect fires, floods, and other threats to your home. 24/7 professional monitoring services cost under $1 a day, less than half the price of traditional home security systems. And with the top-rated Simply Safe app, stay in complete control of your system. Arm or disarm, unlock for a guest, access your cameras, or adjust system settings anytime, anywhere. Don't miss your chance to save big on my favorite security system. Get 40% off any new system at simplysafe.com/lockedonNFL today. That's simplysafe.com/lockedonNFL. There's no safe like Simply Safe. All right, Sarah, continue on today's episode, Lockdown Broncos post-game report. Yeah, another disappointing loss for this Broncos team. They dropped to 3-9 on the season. So much of this season, the Broncos have been carried by their defense, Sarah. And in some big moments this season, even with a 10-0 lead, there's been instances where they've had 10-0 leads three times, and they're 0-3 in those contests. There's been times where the Broncos defense has given up plays late to allow other teams to win games despite playing strong, either for four quarters until the final minute. That was another trend here today as the Broncos surrendered, as you mentioned earlier, a 16-play drive at the end of this game to lose to Tyler Huntley and the Baltimore Ravens. No Lamar Jackson's game. He left the game with a knee injury. There's things the Broncos defense, I felt like, did really well in this game, even against Lamar Jackson early on. I also thought against Tyler Huntley, but obviously a couple of breakdowns here and there. Penalties, once again, really a defining factor here. It's just, it's unfortunate because you look at this defense, and I put a tweet out there, Sarah, during this game. I said, you know what? I can't even blame the Broncos defense at this point because they're on the field too much in these games. And granted, yes, you want them to get a stop, and they need to get a couple of stops on fourth down. They had opportunities. They simply didn't do it. Okay, that's fine. I think that there's fair criticism to be had there. But the reality is that if people are going to blame the Broncos defense for how things are going, I just think they're simply out of touch with how bad the offense has been. Here is a very interesting nugget here, Sarah. Okay, coming into this game, I mean, obviously the Broncos offensive output production has been bad, but with 9 points, it puts the Broncos total points scored this season on offense at 110. The lowest in the league, dates all the way back to 2000 in the format that we currently have in the modern era, and that was by the Cleveland Browns. You know how many points they scored in that season? 161. And at this pace, it looks like the Broncos are going to take over the new stakeholder place of being the worst offense in points scored in the NFL since 2000. That right there, I think, is ultimately disappointing when it's crazy is that how the defense is playing for a majority of the game. So for me, I can't be entirely mad at the Broncos defense. You have to execute late down the stretch, but this loss is simply not on them.
Right. It's everything else that's filtering to the defense. You put all the pressure on their shoulders, right? And of course, by the time the end of the fourth quarter rolls around, all the pressure being on their shoulders for all four quarters eventually causes them to buckle a little bit, which you should be allowed as an NFL defense to surrender 10 points. And it's just sad that the Broncos offense can't figure out a way. And it's compounding mistakes once again. Like, you talk about big plays that could have turned the tide of this game. Man, Justin Simmons had two interceptions in this game. One killed a Ravens scoring drive. Tyler Huntley, the Ravens tried this trick play, which was absolutely hilarious. James Prochet threw an interception in the end zone there. Justin Simmons, easiest interception he'll ever have. But another one of his interceptions, the first one, I thought, Cody, I mean, I was certain that he was going to take it in for six, and I kind of felt a bad omen when he didn't take it in for six. He slipped up on the sideline there and went down. And really, that, I mean, that was a play where you anticipate the offense is going to come out. Okay, you give them a short field. They're already in field goal range. They could at least get into the red zone. Did the Broncos even have a red zone appearance in this game? They didn't. They were 0-for-0 in the red zone. So I guess you can't get worse in the red zone if you don't make it into the red zone. But man, it was just one of those games for the defense. Like, they are playing as hard as they can. They weren't really giving up plays on the ground in the running game like we had seen the last couple weeks. Looked like a lot of improvement there. And like you said, they were getting pressure on the QB early, even when Lamar Jackson was out there. The reason he went out of the game, I mean, he took a really big hit early on. So a couple of them, actually. So really, to me, the Broncos defense can't be blamed. Although I think you can look back at the season in retrospect and say, all right, if the offense does make the necessary amount of plays, the defense hasn't always necessarily been able to match up. We have seen it come together a couple times, like against San Francisco and Jacksonville. But man, for the most part, even when the offense is able to, you know, get out to a 10-0 lead or give the defense a 9-3 lead in the fourth quarter, I mean, that's a 6-point lead no matter what way you cut it. I know that every game has a different story, but in terms of the NFL, that's a 6-point lead. And to me, I mean, it doesn't necessarily matter what the score is at that point. Of course, we know the game tells the story that the defense had to put most of the weight on their shoulders, but you got a 6-point lead in the fourth quarter with less than 2 minutes left. You expect a great defense to come through. And I think that there's just the tough thing is like you said, how can you blame the defense, right? I mean, even though you expect them to come through, how can you blame them for giving up 10 points in a game? I mean, that's ridiculous. So this one is pretty squarely on the offense, and then special teams as well, Cody. I know not necessarily time of possession. It wasn't that big. It was about 5 minute difference in time of possession, but starting field position, that was very, very heavily in favor of the Baltimore Ravens in this game. And it killed, once again, an already inept Broncos offense.
And it's just like, what more can you expect at this point? Like, how do you get better in these areas? Like, how do you improve it? I think it's easier to improve the defense and some of the areas they have to clean up. Obviously, like, for the last 2 weeks, we haven't been able to see them generate a lot of pressure on quarterbacks, right? They had multiple sacks in this game. Deshaun Williams having one, Jonathan Cooper having one. Oh, and you also have Baron Browning coming off the edge and having one as well. Two interceptions. Like, if you were to tell me the Broncos defense would hold the Ravens to 10 points, have three sacks on Lamar Jackson, have two takeaways, and still lose, I'd be like, no, that's crazy. But in retrospect, when you know that, oh, the Broncos offense is on the other side of the field, yeah, makes sense. That, to me, I think is what is more disappointing. And look, I want to give a lot of props to guys like Alex Singleton, Josie Jewell. I thought the defense, they flew around. They were aggressive this week. Just stinks, man. Just another loss. And what we're really talking about, too, is just you have a lot of really good defensive players. You're playing good defense, but it's like this defense is being wasted. And it's almost to the point, it's like, okay, now you have games against the Chiefs coming up, against the Cardinals, against the Rams. I mean, it's just not going to get any easier at this point. So it's like, what is there to look forward to with this Broncos season? And that is something that we're actually going to talk about coming up on today's episode, Locked On Broncos, with various games remaining. What is there, if anything, to look forward to? You get that on today's episode of the show. But this episode is brought to you by our friends at Prize Picks. And Prize Picks is daily fantasy sports done right. And with the Prize Picks app, you choose 2 to 5 players that you're focused on heading into the week. And these players, they'll have a projection that's set by Prize Picks. And you simply choose whether or not they will have more or less in their Prize Picks projection, which could allow you to win 10 times your money on any entry. There is no competing against other people. It's just you versus the projections available. Download the Prize Picks app or go to prizepicks.com to sign up and play daily fantasy sports. First time users can receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100 with promo code Locked On. If you deposit $100, Prize Picks will give you $100. If you deposit $50, Prize Picks will give you $50. Don't forget to enter promo code Locked On at sign up for an instant deposit match up to $100. The Broncos' loss secures a 6th losing season in a row and 7th consecutive season without a playoff appearance as we head into a little bit of a drought here in Broncos country. What is there to look forward to the rest of the season? Sarah, this is a great question to ask Broncos country. And I would say if we put this out on Twitter right now, we said, Broncos country, is there anything to look forward to with this team for the remainder of the season? I would garner an attempt to say most of the responses we'd probably receive is nothing. or they'd say, we're looking forward to blowing it up. We're looking forward to firing this guy, whoever may be, getting rid of this player, so on and so forth. These are the responses I expect us to receive. Because we're always we look at every side, right? We'll look at the bad, we'll look at the good, and we'll kind of stay in the middle of everything. What is there to look forward to with this team going forward? Because, you know, right now I'm looking at this offense there. Cortland Sutton's injured with a hamstring injury. Jerry Jeudy's coming back and, you know, probably going to was on a pitch count in this game. Is he going to be a pitch count leading up into the next couple of games just as he tries to get back to, you know, who he is 100%? KJ Hamler's on injured reserve. That's very disappointing. Denver has no offensive playmakers really outside of Kendall Hinton being one of those guys, Greg Dulcich being one of those guys, and Jerry Jeudy at this point.
Yeah, I honestly don't know, Cody. As we talk about adding this segment in and talk about, like, what is there to look forward to, it almost feels like a rhetorical question, right? Because what is there to look forward to? It's like, I mean, you can't look forward to watching NFL draft prospects that you could potentially take with your top five pick, because right now that top five pick is going to the Seattle Seahawks. As a matter of fact, as of the end of the game, I mean, it's the third overall pick. So you're missing out on the third overall pick in the NFL draft potentially. And even if you win a couple games here down the stretch, which I hope the Broncos do to make that a little bit less painful, I know they have picks in other rounds as well, but you're not only giving up the third overall pick, you're giving up the third overall pick on the second day of the draft as well. So you really want to knock that pick down a few rungs so that it doesn't seem as bad in hindsight. But at the end of the day, I mean, the Broncos are already eliminated from the AFC West, you know, contention before they even get an opportunity to play the Chiefs. I just saw that tweet come in from Mike Kliss, which is kind of crazy to think about. Like, with Russell Wilson, the team that was a quarterback away, you're already eliminated from the AFC West before you even see Patrick Mahomes. Kind of crazy. Exhausting is the theme of this whole episode, Cody, because it's exhausting to have to talk about, regurgitate these same things about the Broncos. I don't think there is anything to look forward to. You're now at this point, you're worried about guys getting hurt the rest of the way. Yeah. You're worried about the potential of, man, I mean, could things actually get worse beyond this? You know, is the offense going to continue? I mean, it's not like you have an offense like they have in Detroit right now, where you could score 30, 40 points at any given time and say, hey, at least it'll be fun to watch while we go down with the ship, right? But I can't believe we're sitting here jealous of the Detroit Lions at this point in the season. You don't really have the NFL draft to look forward to. You don't really have player development to look forward to, because I think that's been arguably the biggest failure of this coaching staff. You don't have, you know, offense to look forward to. At least, you know, let's keep it fun. You got two matchups against the Kansas City Chiefs. You got another matchup against the Chargers. You have some big-time heavy hitters that you're playing against here as the season unfolds, the rest of the season unfolds, five more games. Really, there's nothing to look forward to. You have to just endure at this point if you're a Denver Broncos. Yeah. Fan.
Well, and I think as well, you mentioned guys coming back from injuries like Kaywan Williams. Like, the fact that he was even practicing this week with a 4-week injury, like 2 weeks into it, like, to me, I was like, he had an arthroscopic knee surgery and he's back practicing in 2 weeks. Like, unbelievable. It goes to show how much he wants to be out there. But I think if you're George Payton, right, you made an investment in Kaywan Williams, you made an investment in guys like Randy Gregory. Randy Gregory was out there doing stretch as well this past week. So the question is, do you just shut those guys down for the rest of the year because you invested in them and you're going to absolutely 110% need them going into next season? That's the risk reward, right? Because you go out there and let's say you suffer a big time injury. Like, at what point of the season does it become where players need to make the best business decisions for them, right? And at this point, I think guys who are, you know, fighting for a contract, those guys are going to continue to compete. But it's like, you make some investments in some of these guys. At what point do you say, all right, hey, this season is lost. We need to protect them. We need to start focusing on next year. We need to start building on something. I don't know what that's going to be like, Sarah, because as we anticipate, there's going to be a lot of change here in Dove Valley. There's potentially going to be a brand new head coach for this team. And right now, Denver, really, the Broncos have really taken a back seat. I mean, there may be a rung above the Rockies at this point, but now you have CU with Deion Sanders coming there. Now you have the Denver Nuggets and the Colorado Avalanche. Like, all these teams have now skyrocketed to the top of Denver's popularity, and the Broncos have fallen off, even though you can make the argument Denver's the most popular sport in all of Colorado. But Broncos fans are tired. Fans are frustrated, and rightfully so. this is not what any of us expected. I think for fans, I think for you and me as media, we did not expect this. And it's just so frustrating. It's tiring. It drains you. And look, you and I, there's certain comments that people don't see that you and I have to deal with every single day. So it's like sometimes I could come across here, especially in the comment section, I could come across as grumpy, as grouchy, and I don't like that some of these things are making me do that. So Broncos country, I apologize to you. I'm sorry, because this is draining. I get you're just as frustrated. You're probably even more so pissed than I am. I have no emotional investment in the outcome of the games, except I love it when Broncos country is happy. That, to me, I think is the overall important thing that matters here at the end of the day. But also at the same point, my line too, as a professional, I care about these players. I have a lot of great relationships with players. I have a great relationship with coaches in the building. And it's like, I know some of the things that they do behind the scenes, the work that they put in. And so it's like, there's this fine line of seeing Broncos fans being rightfully pissed versus defending people that I know, like against false narratives that we're seeing being created out there. So I would say, Sarah, that's kind of like the frustration point for me. But you know what? It doesn't get any easier this week, because guess who comes to town? Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs, who have you covered all week long. And the build-up to that game here for this Denver Broncos football team, plus Sarah will have you covered with a Locked On Broncos, Locked On Chiefs crossover episode available this Thursday on your favorite audio podcasting platforms with Chris Clark or Ryan Tracy of the Locked On Chiefs podcast. They'll have you covered with all the action and more here this week. Broncos country, make sure you fire off in the comment section down below. Just another disappointing loss for this Denver team. They dropped a 3-9 on the season. What could have been if the Broncos offense could only just put up points? Man, what a wild thing to ponder about. We'll have you covered this week here, Locked On Broncos.